Roger Williams University is hosting a crisis management seminar on May 3rd at their Providence campus. Crises, whether a natural disaster, cyber attack, or financial instability, can have severe repercussions if not handled properly. This is where crisis management plays a pivotal role. Join Roger Williams MBA students and expert speakers to learn how to prepare for the unexpected. The program is totally free and open to the public. You can register online at rwu.edu/events/crisis-management-symposium.
This is the Bartholomew Town Podcast.
Hi, everyone. Welcome in to another edition of the Bartholomew Town Podcast. I'm your host, Bill Bartholomew. On this episode, a conversation with Rhode Island Representative Marcia Ranglin Vassell on the removal of And Providence Plantations from the official name of the state of Rhode Island.
So thank you so much for having me. I know we've been trying, you've been trying to have me on for a while.
Yeah.
So timing is everything, right?
Sure is.
So, Marcia Ranglin Vassell, and I am a state rep for House District 5, that is Elmhurst, Wanscock, and Charles. And I was first elected in November 2016, and here I am.
Well, let's get into one of the specific things that is amongst a sea of activity over, look, this calendar year 2020 has been, I don't think anybody would have predicted where we are right now when it was like, what, January. But something hyper-specific in the midst of recent events is revisiting the idea that we should remove of Providence and Providence Plantations, from the official name of the state of Rhode Island. Now, there's some people who have pushed back on that notion and have said, hey, look, first of all, in 2010, it was on the ballot. 77% of Rhode Islanders rejected it. I saw some Providence College professor try to explain that it has no connotation with slavery or something like that. But the reality is, there's no question that it's time to remove it from the state name. I don't know if you could sort of elaborate on your work with that and where you stand today.
So there's a And amazing, I had a conversation with another radio personality back in January or maybe even last year. I got up one morning and I tweeted that it's about time we move plantations from our official state name. And that elicited maybe an entire day of talk radio and maybe into the next day of why we should not remove that. And so most people who say that, I think, don't have a keen understanding of what that means for Black people and people of African descent who are brought to the Americas, not the United States of America alone, but to the Americas. We were enslaved. My ancestors were enslaved and brought and have worked on plantations all over the Americas, including Jamaica, where I am from. And I also want to use this opportunity to say that we are the only group of people, Black people that is, who were actually brought to the New World enslaved to work on plantations, whether it be sugarcane or cotton or whatever. So I understand what connotation means. I also understand what denotation means, but also understand that if you're a Black person or person of African descent, this is hurtful language. This is awful language. And so there's a movement across this country, more so now, to get rid of these symbols, whether they be monuments or whatever they are. And so I did a quick research when I was talking about removing the plantation name from our official slave name. And my research, there are no monuments per se in Rhode Island, but we have that plantation name. And every official document that I sign or anyone sign or you get, plantation is on that. And so every time that I see it, I'm in the state house, I'm at school, I get my degree or whatever, it's hurtful to me. It's hurtful to Black people. It's hurtful to well-thinking and forward-thinking white people. And so I appreciate that we're having this conversation. And I want to thank the legislators back then. I had a peek at the legislature that was introduced there, I believe 2007 or 2009. I appreciate them bringing that forward at that time. And so in this moment where everyone is saying Black Lives Matters, right? And I just want to say that Black lives have always mattered. Have always mattered. It's not new. And so people who don't live and exist in a Black body and walk around being racially profiled, we walk in spaces where there's microaggression and they don't understand. I think they don't. Because if they did, they would have joined us and they would have said, you know what? It's time to remove that offensive, that racist, that awful name from our official state name. It has no value right now. It is divisive. It is awful. And I can tell you, there is never one moment that I have seen that word that it does not bring back my past. The people that were dragged and ripped from their homeland and brought to this country and to Jamaica and to the Americas. So let's get our conscience. This is imperative. Let's fight. Let's speak about it. And let's all be outraged. And we need people who are going to join us and say, enough is enough. It is not just enough to say Black Lives Matters. Words have consequences, and those words actually must match the actions, what we do, the kinds of policies that we implement, how we use our privilege and privileges, let me say white privileges, to elevate the issues of Black and brown people in Providence and all across Rhode Island and all across this world, quite frankly.
It's shocking to me that there's just such a lack of empathy, first of all, on so many issues. It frankly, you know, my mind is blown with some of the ignorance I've, you know, I grew up in Southern Rhode Island, and look, a lot of that ignorance comes from just a lack of experience, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Although there's that's not an excuse, but as, you know, here we are in a connected world. You know, in this day and age, I just can't wrap my head around that sort of ignorance and that lack of empathy. There's a petition going around right now in which, you know, basically a change.org petition to get rid of Anne Providence Plantations from the state name. And some of the comments on there, the people who would defend this as if it doesn't matter. I mean, these are the same folks who are probably, you know, saying all lives matter or whatever it is, or, or you know, trying to compare looting with the peaceful protests. I mean,
yes,
mean-spirited, borderline evil approach to reality. How do we get out of this position right here? Because I can't believe that that's the majority of folks.
Well, listen, I had a conversation with a woman yesterday, and she is actually in a position of power and influence, a white woman. I at first I didn't know what to make of it, right? And so I think, well, and you should know if you followed me or if you've seen me or whatever, I have been speaking about systematic racism, systemic racism, structural poverty, because those intertwine, right? I have been speaking about this since my election to the General Assembly. And every time I open my mouth to speak about these issues for the last 4 years, there is an effort, I think, to silence me. But I want everyone who's listening to know this, that I can't be silenced, because I was at 14 years old, I was demanding clean water in my own, in my country of Jamaica, in my community, where everyone was poor. So the issue of people not wanting to not believe that racism exists, right? I would encourage you all, I'm speaking to you directly, you should talk to Black people. You should talk to Black men. You should talk to Black women. You should talk to Black children. Just talk to them and see what they go through every day. I want to share with you that the plantation may be just a word to you. It may be just a symbol to you. It may mean nothing to you. For people that look like me, it means everything. It means that our ancestors, their blood is in the ground. And it cries from the ground every single day. It means that every single day, there are knees on our necks. That is one of them. That is one of them. And so what I have been saying to people that I'm talking to is that I am not looking for allies. I am actually looking for disruptors. People that are willing to disrupt the status quo. People that are willing to say enough. People that are willing to, I've been talking to people who are even afraid to say the word, Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter. There are people who are so afraid to say racism and race. Listen, if you're afraid to say that, then you become complicit. So, you know, I tell you, this has been since the tragic murder of Mr. Floyd. This has been, first of all, it has opened up so many really sad memories for all of us Black and brown people. And we've seen this. And I can tell you, Bill, that most people are seeing this awful video for the first time. I live in a house with three young men and one Black husband. Well, the boys are Black too. And and so for years, every day they said, Mommy, look at this video. I can tell you, every single week, I see another video for years of another Black man or woman being treated like Mr. Floyd or even worse. So this is not new for me. This is not new for me. No, it's new for a lot of people. So I hope in this moment that people are joining with us and they are saying, listen, this plantation thing may be really small for you, but for us, it's very hurtful and it's painful. And so we're asking you to use your privilege and to help us dismantle racism, to help us dismantle classism, to help us to dismantle those systems in place. And let me dare say, we're not going to dismantle these systems unless we vote people out that don't share the values of how all people should be treated with respect and dignity. And all people must be heard. And so the next time you get a mic, wherever platform you are, try to elevate Black women's voices. Don't join with the oppressor by silencing or trying to silence our voice. When you see racism or racist attitudes or racist words, be a disruptor and call that out. What it may mean, as in my case, you're in the political doghouse, right? What it may mean is that you can be seen as a troublemaker, you can be seen as whatever, but know that you're doing the right thing. Know that your voice. I said to someone, a legislator, colleague of mine back in January, who called me and said, how can I help you? This was back in January before we went back to the General Assembly. And I said, this is what you can do to help me. You can help to elevate the issues that I care about. Because the issues that I care about really matters to Black and brown people. And if the bills that I've introduced over the last 4 years were passed, the numbers, we would not have seen, I don't think we would have seen such morbid numbers with COVID-19. And I said to the person at the time, they respect you because you're white and you have privilege. They, the status quo, don't respect me and what I bring to the table because I'm Black. I'm a Black woman. And I also carry angry Black woman in my pocket. Black pocket. I say that all the time. But the truth of the matter is, we must do better. We're better than this Rhode Island. And if we aren't better, we should try to be better. We should level the playing field for Black and brown people who are working up to 2 jobs and they still can't make ends meet, struggling in poverty. We should level the playing field, use our voices and our privilege to ensure that people are not going back to work sick because they can't afford to stay home. We should use our privilege to ensure that women, Black women, are not dying just trying to have a baby, because Black women are 3 to 4 times more likely to die in childbirth. So I urge you to call leadership, call your reps, call your senators, and ask them to pass a doula bill. That's important. That's important. I urge you to look at the kinds of legislation that I have offered up for the last 4 years, to look at trauma. It's a bill that I've offered up for the last 4 years, to look at trauma that our children face. It's not heard yet. It's to pass the Trauma Informed Schools Act. If there's no other time that we need to pass that bill, it's now. Because our kids have been traumatized for so long, but more so now. So, you know, everyone who's listening, you have a platform, you have a voice. Please use it for the common good. It is not okay. And it's not okay that every single official document that we get, and you get, you see, plant hope that you get it too. It's hurtful, it's mean, it's racist, it's awful, and we should get rid of it now.
I couldn't agree more. I'm 100% with you, and I just can't wrap my head around anyone who is opposed to this, and it's something that's going to happen immediately. The last thing I'll say here, I know we're on limited time, just a real quick, you know, last Friday was one of the most powerful things I've ever experienced in Rhode Island, if not the most. 10,000 folks marching on the State House, a youth-led rally.
Yes.
And in the week since, nary a peep about that, but we've heard about this Allie's Donut story on every news channel, you know. And look, regardless of your position on the donut shop getting rid of their police and military discount, whatever your position is, another element of this, and I'm going to call out fellow members of the media right now, are to elevate stories like this Providence Plantation story to the front of the newscast. And knock it off with the, I just invoked the governor there. I'll use a different phrase. You know, get away from the sensationalism here on the back and forth about the donut shop. All right. You know, here we are a week later and we don't really hear about the rally that from my position was the largest protest in the history of the state that was organic, youth-led, peaceful.
Oh, yes.
You know, frankly, gave me chills on multiple occasions, if not throughout the entire experience.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And the result of something like that should be the immediate move to get rid of Providence Plantations as part of the news, for example. And here we are, the Twitter sphere, the newscasts, focusing on a donut shop and the back and forth surrounding that. It's time for people to wake up, get focused on the tangible issues. We see the COVID data rolled out. I just asked the health department, you know, they give a nice word salad about the antibody data and so forth. What are the brick and mortar solutions that are going to happen in Central Falls and South Providence to make sure that health equity isn't something that's being worked on, something that's in the plan? June 2020, you know, answer the call of the 10,000 people that marched to the State House peacefully.
Yes.
And that type of disruption needs to be amplified by everyone out there. anyone who pushes back on that, to me, is, you know, exhibiting, they're a participant in systemic racism. So I just want to lay that out there. And I know you're on short time. I don't want to hold you, but if you want to respond to that in the last couple of minutes here, and then again, really appreciate you coming on.
You know, last Friday, I was there and my three sons was there and my husband was there. And it was so powerful. Just seeing the youth and the protesters and looking at the signs and feeling the energy. It was just so powerful. And that moment, I don't know if it can be replicated. I think it can grow to 20,000 people. But, you know, all I can say is people's actions and their words have to match. If they don't match, it doesn't mean anything. I am hopeful because I can feel the shift. I can feel the shift. I am seeing disruptors joining us with this movement. But I know that structural racism, structural poverty, systematic racism is laced in the DNA of this country. It is. So it's going to take a lot. But I believe in humanity. I believe in the goodness of people. And I also believe in the goodness of people to change. But we cannot stop. We cannot stop. We cannot rest on our laurels. We cannot become complacent. And we must hold people accountable as we hold ourselves accountable. So we heard the COVID data, the sad, the awful. I have lost people that I know to COVID. You might know people. I've lost people right here in my district to COVID. Those numbers are not just numbers. Those numbers are real people. They're people that I know. They're people that you know. And it pained me a lot. That first month, I didn't know what to do with myself. I even turned to Eden. And I'm not someone who turns to Eden because of anything. I turned to Eden food, just eating everything that I saw. Because I was so angry. And I needed to channel that anger somewhere. And I needed to channel it for the common good, to elevate people and to lift people up. And so I started exercising and walking and dancing because I find that to be a part of the resistance. Because you've got to put your mask on literally and figuratively speaking first. You've got to take care of yourself. It angered me that we had so many opportunities to do the right thing in Rhode Island and to create policies and legislation that impact Black people and brown people and poor white people, and we didn't do it. I am hopeful. I am very hopeful that our words, political leaders, their words, senators and representatives, that their words will matter with their actions. And when we get back to passing bills, we can pass bills that will radically change the trajectory of people's lives. Because no one should die because they're poor. No one should die because they're Black or brown. No one should die. And I'm so thankful for you offering me this space where I can share with your listeners how I feel. And I am not going to stop. It doesn't matter the pushback that I get. I am never going to stop because I know that I stand on the shoulders of giants. And I know for me to be sitting at this table and to be talking to you is because my ancestors survived the transatlantic trade that brought my ancestors to Jamaica. And now I am in Providence, Rhode Island. I hope and I pray that we can remove once and for all plantations from the official state name. So thank you. Let's keep going.
Thank you, Rep. You are a tremendous leader in this state and, you know, just such a welcome voice in the Rhode Island community. And I wish you nothing but the best. And
thank you.
Thank you so much for taking time today. I know, by the way, you're also a teacher, so that's a whole nother discussion for another day. You've got to get back to distance learning right now.
Thank you. I'm actually in break now. So thank you much for having me. I really appreciate it. And thanks for all that you do.
This is the Bartholomew Town Podcast.
Discover over 200 other episodes of the Bartholomew Town Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, ripodcast.com, or wherever you like to get audio.
At HealthSource RI for Employers, we provide access to health insurance to more than 1,100 local businesses and nonprofits, and 96% of them renew through us every year. Maybe it's our choice of 19 different health plans, our 10 years of customizing solutions, or our one local team of dedicated experts helping employers find quality health insurance. See how our numbers stack up for you. Learn more at healthsourceri.com/employers.